If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. Great to be with you. We're going to talk some politics. Two smart guys, Joe Concha, Fox News contributor and author of the book, Come On Man, The Truth About Biden's No Good, Horrible, Very Bad Presidency, and Chris Bedford, senior contributor at The Federalist and senior fellow at Common Sense Society. Chris, I heard you were under the weather and you're going to put Sarah on. I was kind of hoping that was going to happen.
She's sitting next to me and might even sub in.
Well, give her my best regards and tell her I want to bring her on the TV show.
Yes, I will.
If she would do it. Yep. All right. Now, gentlemen, let's start. Joe Concha, I know Monday's supposed to be D-Day for Donald Trump, but he's got a lot of cards up his sleeve. He's got more cash than people thought. He's selling Truth Social is going to go public. It's worth $3.5 billion to him, depending on the exact market value price. And Letitia James, crazy Letitia James, with this mob justice system that she's installing, she can't just go out and seize buildings because that's a very complicated acquisition for the state or anybody else. You've got covenants, you've got leveraged buyouts, you've got side deals, you've got rental agreements.
Yep.
I mean, nothing's going to really, it'll be very interesting. So, Joe, how do you read this? I mean, financially, not so much. I'm interested in the politics of this.
Sure. Oh, well, if I were Trump from a political perspective and even just from a principal perspective, you know what I would say, and I could see Trump doing this? Screw you, Attorney General.
Yeah.
Screw you. Go ahead. You try to take my properties, right? And then let her go ahead and try to take her assets, like that golf course up in upstate New York, padlock the doors, throw all the workers out, all while having this stupid big smile on her face that she always seems to have, and let her do her end zone dance on social media. We've seen it throughout this whole process where she posts the amount of interest that Trump owes every day, right? Plus 114,000. Yeah, we got him, right? So if you want to go ahead and celebrate like you're an offensive lineman who just scored his first touchdown, go right ahead. And because here's what's going to happen. You can save this tape. I believe we saved the tapes at WABC. this will clinch Donald Trump's victory in November and his return to the Oval Office. This may play well, Larry, for the MSNBC crowd, otherwise known as friends and relatives. They could cheer her on all they want. But to most sane and sober individuals, let's put it this way, Larry. I live in New Jersey. All right. At last check, we're quite the blue state. I therefore have lots of friends that vote reliably Democrat, and I can say safely that 90% of them, whose professions range from police officer to doctor, lawyer, contractor, small business owner, dentist, think this weaponization of the justice system is an absolute crock, especially the fine that was levied. So this judgment, every sane and sober legalist out there, like Jonathan Turley will tell you, is profoundly ludicrous, and it's going to be overturned in appellate court anyway. So when that happens, and that gets overturned, or Letitia James starts seizing assets, it's going to be like petroleum for the Trump campaign. Because you take away lawfare, and every issue is on Trump's side. Border, energy, trade, foreign policy, obviously inflation, crime, you name it. And with that strategy falling apart, the lawfare side, this election comes down to the issues and a referendum on Joe Biden's record. He wins an electoral landslide we haven't seen since George H.W. Bush, 1988.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, I've heard you hint at this before.
Yes.
Not as strong, but it's a very interesting point. We had Jonathan Turley on the show last night, and he said you just can't padlock the door at Trump Tower. It's just not that easy. Letitia James doesn't know that because she's never had anything in business ever. She has no concept of what business is. And Chris Bedford, you know, last night on the show, Katie Pavlich made a very good point. If you seize these properties, let's for example, let's take the golf club in Westchester County, which apparently she has her eye on, according to the papers. You'd be putting a lot of middle class and lower middle class people out of work. You close that thing down, you know, greenskeepers, equipment, caddies, professionals, kitchens, bartenders, waiters and waitresses, locker rooms. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you could knock out 100 jobs or 200 jobs, or take any of these big buildings. You close them down. Buildings have to be run and maintained by people. And who are they? They're working class people. They're not fancy New York people. They're not elitist people. They're not millionaires. They're just ordinary working folks. That's what you're doing here. So in addition to what Joe Concha is saying, the patent unfairness of it all, they'd be having a jobs impact on middle class folks. What do you make of that, Chris Bedford?
Yeah, and you know, these are the kind of people whose suffering is not going to mean a whole lot to people like Jimmy Kimmel, the kind of folks out there who say that it's a fine thing if people who don't have the vaccination can't get hospital treatment. But this sort of thing means a lot to independent voters. This is the kind of thing that just like you two were talking about now, independent voters look at this. They see padlocks on buildings. Mm. They see $500 million fines. And they say this seems like a really unfair thing. It really helps the Democrats' war on democracy messaging fall completely flat. And now their immigration messaging is falling completely flat. Their Trump's attacking democracy, excuse me, and even their economic messaging starts to fall flat when you add these things together. I understand that to a group of folks that have been in a bubble where all of their friends agree that Donald Trump is the worst thing in the world, that this lawfare strategy maybe made sense at first. And maybe this lawfare strategy even would have made sense if the suits had been launched in late summer and you had that feeling of guilt that kind of surrounded all of these different trajectories coming at Trump at the same time. But now that they've really started to play out and one by one fall apart, I think anyone could look at this and say it doesn't make sense at all.
It's interesting that this crazy case in New York with its, you know, excessive fines and no victims, and this AG Letitia James actually ran for office on getting Trump, quote unquote, this has become the central legal point of the lawfare war against Trump. You know, it's not, I mean, what's his name? The special counsel, Jack Smith, he was supposed to be the center of it, or classified documents were supposed to be the center of it. Of course, you can't do that anymore because Joe Biden was guiltier than classified documents. Then you got down south in Hotlanta, right? Fannie Willis, you know, Chris, she and her paramour, they're going down. The paramour has gone down. She threw him under the bus. Stand by your man. That one didn't really work. We played that song last week. Maybe we'll play it again this week.
Got to play it again.
The producers are getting ready now. They're going for it. So we'll have it in just a second. But she herself, the judge who said either your paramour goes or you go, but he was so negative on her that the Trump people and the judges said you have a right to go back in and get rid of her and disqualify her. So the whole strategy is falling apart. I mean, not only was it bad, but it's now falling apart. It's like, you know, was Lions 10, what was it? Lions 10, Christian 0. It's like Trump 10, Lawfare 0. I mean, this thing just is not working for the Biden campaign. The strategy is completely failed. Wait a second. Which one is this? Is this Tammy? Tammy Wynette. Here's a little bit. Stand by your man, just for a second.
Lonely. Stand by your man. And show the world you love
him. Yeah, so she didn't exactly stand by her man. I mean, we ought to probably bring in Sarah Bedford on this to see if she'll stand by her man. But Joe Concha, Sarah, you going to stand by Chris Bedford?
You going to stand by me, baby? They're asking you.
Oh, we'll see.
We'll see. It's a we'll see. I love that. No, I don't. I don't know what to say about that one. Anyway, the point is the strategy is falling apart, Chris. That's my point. So what Joe is saying, you know, Joe, you're a bold guy, and you're going to write this book about Trump's comeback victory. which is going to be an interesting book.
He better win.
He better win. I know. They'll give you an advance ahead of time. Or, God, if it's a contingency advance, don't do the deal.
Good idea, yeah.
Anyway. But, you know, what you're saying, this could be a turning point. And people think come Monday, you know, somehow Trump is going to be sent to the Tower of London on the way to a beheading. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That he's got a lot of cards up his sleeve.
He does. And again, I would just say you're not getting a dime. I'll take my chances in appeals court. Mm-hmm. Thanks. So go ahead. Do what you got to do. And then she's not going to know what to do. Right. To your point, it is so complicated. Mm-hmm. Right. So she just can't march up to that golf course up there and just start again. What are you going to do? Throw out the workers? How's that going to look on television? If I'm Trump, I double dare to do this because his numbers will just continue to go up. And, yeah, again, to the hardcore left that will support Biden no matter what, they'll love this. But everybody else can be like, what's going on here? We got so many problems. That video that came out of El Paso this week of our National Guards. Imagine this. The first two acts of those illegals that came here were to, A, break into the country, and, B, assault Texas National Guard. Mm. Right? That is the video of the year right now as far as I'm concerned. That is a living, breathing campaign ad.
Tell you what. Hang on,
that's
Joe.
What people care about. We got to go to break.
Yeah, let's take a break because I want to talk about that. I agree with you. That is a major event. That those news clips that everybody's seen in the last two or three days is a gigantic event. However subliminally and subconsciously, that is major, and it's not good for Joe Biden, and it is good. Donald Trump's been saying this for years. So let's take a break. We got Joe Concha, Fox News contributor, and Chris Bedford of The Federalist. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice.
Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're talking to Joe Concha, Fox News contributor, author of Come On, Man, The Truth About Biden's No Good, Horrible, Very Bad Presidency, and Chris Bedford, senior contributor at The Federalist, senior fellow at Common Sense Society. Joe, didn't mean to cut you off, but those pictures of these able-bodied, military-looking males from, I guess, Venezuela breaking through the line of the Texas National Guard, breaking through the razor wire, I mean, those pictures flashing throughout the country basically send a message. Not only is the border out of control and the illegal entrance out of control, but there's no safety. There's no security, there's no law and order, and they're coming up to a town near you or your own town. That's what people look at that who don't live anywhere near El Paso, Texas, can worry that it's going to happen to them as well. And I think this is a very, very negative thing for Joe Biden.
And they're coming to places like Athens, Georgia, right, Larry? Yes. Lake and Riley, right? Mm-hmm. Venezuelan illegal who was arrested here already and should have been deported on the spot when that happened. And instead he stays here and he bludgeons to death a poor nursing student there in Georgia. And that is the face of this campaign right now. That video that we all saw this week out of El Paso, that's the video of this campaign right now. And to hear the White House press secretary, who is by far the most inept press secretary, I'm not even talking about for presidents. You could give me like the press secretary for the mayor of Peoria, you know, Illinois, right? It doesn't matter. She says, well, you should talk to the Texas governor about that. He has to get this under control. He has to get this under control. That's a federal issue, right? And the fact that the Biden administration is fighting tooth and nail against Texas Governor Greg Abbott, as far as putting up border fence, border security, anything he could get his hands on to try to stem this flow. And then she blames Abbott for what's going on. And then I got to turn on MSNBC and hear Joe Scarborough screaming that, oh, this is actually Donald Trump's fault, because if we pass that toothless bipartisan so-called bill in the Senate, then this would have never happened, as if that bill would stop this flow right now. The bill that would stop this flow was passed last May in the House as far as H.R. 2, which would have resumed border wall construction, resume Remain in Mexico, eviscerated catch and release. You don't do those three things, I don't care what any bill has in it. That's the ball game. This latest bill that the president keeps pointing to as far as, well, that's going to solve all our problems, that doesn't do any of that. All it does, it hires more judges and more border security to process people into the country, not to stop them. And if we had an honest media, they would tell you that, but it doesn't matter anyway, because everybody knows this is Joe Biden's doing of the past 3 years. They know Trump is infinitely better on the border, as well as inflation and crime and foreign policy. And again, I keep just going back to this. If the election were held today, you tell me how Joe Biden wins, because I don't see it in any of those seven swing states: North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin.
You know, Chris Bedford, that so-called compromise bill in the Senate, 5,000 to 8,000 illegals per day, with a lot of new border agents that will be essentially facilitators, enablers, not turning them back. There was no Remain in Mexico. There was no Title 42. There was a small amount of money to build the wall as a concession. But why should we have 5,000 to 8,000 coming in per day with no vetting? I mean, this is the thing, giving away visas and green cards left and right and leaving the asylum regulations as wide open as before, Chris Bedford. That's the part. I mean, it is exactly in Joe Biden's court. I mean, he's completely guilty of this whole catastrophe.
And even worse, that bill would have created legal status and work permits, which is essentially amnesty for the illegal immigrants here. It's an acceptance of the status quo without really any teeth, any kind of enforcement. And, you know, Ronald Reagan fell for this trick once, where the idea was amnesty in exchange for border security. And he said that was one of the big mistakes of his presidency, was trusting Democrats on that because they didn't deliver. And it happens time and time again. And if you want to see where the Democrats' priorities like really lay, you can just look at the Senate last night, where multiple amendments were offered to this massive spending bill, including the Laken and Riley Act, including the stopping illegals from being flown around the country on the federal dime, including sending illegal immigrants back to their countries. And every one of them was rejected by Senate Democrats. So that's what they can do, this ploy, this bill that, by the way, Chuck Schumer never had to try and even sell his caucus on, because his caucus wouldn't have supported it in the first place. It was only a talking point. Mitch McConnell fell for it. And if you want to see where Democrats really stand, you can look at the Senate votes last night.
You know, that's a great point, Chris. The so-called Senate immigration bill compromise would never have passed. Wouldn't have passed. You're dead right. Democrats wouldn't even have gone that far, which was not far at all. So I agree with you on that point. That's a very important point. You know, that was back in 86. Now, I worked for President Reagan in his first term, so I was out. But in 86, he signed the Simpson-Mazzoli bill. Al Simpson from Wyoming, Roman Mazzoli from, I believe, Kentucky. Correct me if I'm wrong. Moderate Democrat, moderate Republican. And you're right. Reagan, ever since that bill, said that was a huge mistake. He regretted signing it. That and the 1982 budget bill, which raised taxes and didn't cut spending. Those were the two big mistakes. Did a lot of good, and I'm proud to have worked for him, but those were not the two best
bills.
Wasn't
he lied to about that, though, Larry, the 82 bill? When Tip O'Neill said, oh, all right, you agree to this, and then I'll give you a concession
somewhere else
as tax cuts, and they never came.
3-1.
Okay.
The tax hikes didn't damage our lower marginal tax rates, but there were tax increases on businesses. But you're right. They said it was going to be $3 of spending cuts for every $1 revenues. What we got is $3 of revenues and no spending cuts. That's basically what we got.
Well, it didn't hurt him. He won, I think, 49 states and probably could have won Minnesota, but he didn't want to embarrass Walter Mondale,
well,
right?
Well, you know, he and Volcker slayed inflation, and the overriding Reagan tax cut brought it from 70%, the top rate, all the way down to 30%, actually 28%. So all that worked out pretty well. There's one other thing I want to go for. Chris Bedford, go back to you. The Biden EPA wants to end gasoline-powered cars. Now, You talk about unpopular things. No more SUV trucks. No more pulling your camper. By the way, batteries don't work well in a really cold weather in Alaska. I had Senator Lummis on, you know, from Wyoming. She said she won't be able to start the EV in the morning when it's sub-freezing temperatures or sub-zero temperatures in Wyoming. Wyoming, someplace out there in the West. What do you make of that? Very popular. No gasoline cars, Chris Bedford.
It's going to go really great with the rolling blackouts and other energy policies Democrats have instilled. I mean, here even in D.C., where it doesn't snow very often, last year we had a snowstorm that stopped the cars on the highway basically overnight, and those electric vehicles ran out of power, of course. The problem with that is a gasoline car, you can push off the side of the road if you need to, get an emergency vehicle in there or clear the way, or if it's been abandoned. You can't budge those extremely heavy electric vehicles once they're out of power. It's just completely and totally dead weight. And, you know, this is the whole thing in vehicles is a war on freedom.
Yes.
If you
try
to get on the road and rent, the vehicles represented American freedom.
Right.
The four wheeler represents that. The ability to go where you want, the ability to travel the country, to see outside of your bubbles in New York and my bubble in D.C. and just drive out and see the rest of the world. Is an incredible thing, and they're trying to take that away and monitor every aspect.
Are you going to charge them, guys? Where? In urban environments? Right. How do you charge all these cars? No one can answer this question for me.
Wait, gas it up for 3 hours. I can gas it up for 3 minutes or less and find me a gas station with charge. Anyway, Joe Concha, fabulous. Chris Bedford, fabulous. Sarah Bedford, soon. I'm Kudlow, folks.